Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good news, bad news, crazy news, as usual, for conservatives. If Jim sounds a little fuzzy, Al Gore has once again attacked the Three Martini Lunch. Our Skype connection is struggling a little bit today. Jim, very good news and very definitive terms from the number three Republican in the House of Representatives on the issue of taxes over the weekend, Kevin McCarthy of California, on Meet the Press with David Gregory. David Gregory definitively wanting to know what's the ratio that Republicans will accept of spending cuts to new taxes. And McCarthy made it very clear exactly where the Republicans stand on taxes.
Is there any ratio of spending cuts to tax increases that any Republican is actually prepared to support?
Every viewer that's watching today that's working already got a tax increase. The president took $600 billion out of this economy. He talks about a balanced plan, but he never talked about cutting. The public.
But you extended 99% of the Bush tax cuts. Your own leader said that that was a pretty good deal.
He raised $600 billion worth of taxes he took from the economy, and he never made any cuts. Look, the president has a different belief than we do. He believes deficits don't matter. We do. This president has never missed on a deadline turning in a March Madness bracket, but four out of five times he missed turning in a budget.
So there you go, Jim. Absolutely no more room for compromise on taxes. The president already got his $600 billion. And I like the way McCarthy got the little dig in there about the president's misplaced priorities.
Yeah, I'm actually in a slight panic, Greg. I have not yet heard from the White House whether President Obama was able to do his annual taping of his bracket picks with ESPN before he left out for the Middle East this week. The only good news about raising taxes is that when Democrats come back and say, hey, we want to do it again, you have this very ready argument of like, wait, we just did that. It hasn't even been 3 months yet, and already the Democrats want to raise taxes. Very unlikely the Republicans will give ground on this. And I think, you know, with that $600 billion figure out there, you can say, all right, there's your figure. Now it's up to the Democrats. How much spending cuts are they willing to give? By the way, I myself have always hated that question because not all cuts are created equal. If you end up cutting out of anything, you know, foreign aid, you know, the big issue is entitlement reform. You know, there are good spending cuts you can make, and there are bad spending cuts you can make. So if you give me a 9-to-1, something that the Democrats think is really great, we'll give you a 10-to-1 ratio, a 15-to-1 ratio. Well, if it's stuff that I think is good and important and necessary to federal government responsibility, well, that's a bad cut, you know? So the idea is not to just cut willy-nilly. The idea is to cut stuff you don't need. And, you know, at this point, entitlements are the very biggest chunk of it. If you address that, everything else in the discretionary spending budget is easier to take care of. And you're going to hear a lot of this in the year to come. Mr. President, you've got your tax hikes. Now it's time for you to step forward on spending cuts. And, you know, this administration is never all that eager to do that.
And as we'll demonstrate later in our conversation, apparently good spending cuts for the president is anything that hurts or disappoints children. So we'll get to that in a little bit. On to martini number two now, Jim. And there's already been a lot of intrigue about the president's cabinet for a second term. Susan Rice obviously ended up not getting the nod for Secretary of State, largely due to Benghazi, although the story is that John Kerry was the choice all along. Chuck Hagel barely got through. There's likely going to be a pretty big fight over the president's EPA nominee. And now his new Labor Department nominee, Thomas Perez, used to be at the Justice Department, had a big role in deciding to drop the voter intimidation charges against the new Black Panthers. He's expected to be basically doing organized labor's bidding, and his big thing is a living wage. So obviously cranking up the minimum wage will be a big deal for him. It's going to be a pretty big fight on Capitol Hill. And once again, now that the president doesn't face reelection again, we're seeing his true colors, I think.
The second term Obama administration looks a little bit different from the first term. I mean, for starters, it's paler, Greg. this is the sort of nominee who probably deserves a solid grilling in the confirmation hearings and such. We are already, you know, pretty well into March in what is, you know, the second term. You wonder how much Republicans will focus on this as opposed to focusing on, you know, legislative priorities. And, you know, I kind of said something about this administration. They managed to wear you down. At this point, you're like, well, we've been through the Hagel fight. We've been through the Kerry confirmation. We've been through, you know, Susan Rice. At some point, you're like, okay, you know, let's get some people in there. Labor is one of those departments that doesn't get a ton of attention. So that's one of the things for me. It'd be easier just to zero it out, and you really wouldn't have this problem, would you, Greg?
Exactly.
Just eliminate the Department of Labor, and then you don't have, that takes care of the confirmation hearing problem. So there you go.
Absolutely. And there's actually three departments that we would cut out: labor, commerce, and energy.
The repair department of memory, yes.
Yeah, education, I think, was in there, too. Anyway, on to martini number three now, and back to ruining holidays for children. In addition to ruining their spring break by canceling White House tours, not only over spring break, but in perpetuity as a result of these brutal, brutal sequestration cuts, now the White House floating the trial balloon of canceling the White House Easter egg roll at the same time that we find more news of frivolous spending. Jim, we talked about last week the $1.4 million the NIH is allotting for the study of why lesbians are usually more overweight than straight women. Now $2.7 million to find out why they're more likely to be abusive drinkers. And saw a story about $62 million for the Dwight D. Eisenhower Memorial that was never actually built. So pretty sure there's extra money for the Easter egg roll.
Well, my favorite that I have on Campaign Spot right now is apparently the last report on the stimulus, remember, passed from back in 2009. Apparently $2 billion were allocated to agencies that never got spent. They're just sitting there in accounts right now. So there's $2 billion right there, Greg, that you could do, about $700 million from the Department of Agriculture. Now, the other wrinkle worth adding to this is that last week, Jay Carney was on Fox News. Yes, he actually went on Fox News. And he was berating the anchor for suggesting the White House Easter egg roll could be canceled, pointing out that the money to run the White House Easter egg came from commemorative egg sales and other private donations. Well, apparently that's not the case anymore. Apparently this became too useful for the administration as a potential nasty cut. So now it's on the chopping block. It's still dissolved. My guess is you'll see some sort of last minute, you know, Good Friday, the Obama will descend from the heavens and save the Easter egg roll to, you know, swoop in and play the hero for all this. The only thing I would also add, Greg, is that if they do end up canceling, I'm hoping that the three White House calligraphers who make collectively $277,000, I hope they write out the announcements and send them out to all the kids who've been invited saying, sorry, our salaries are too important, kids. You don't get to roll Easter eggs this year.
Exactly right. Well, quite a shift from Obama from the third martini yesterday. Yesterday, people were thinking he was intentionally looking like the devil in the Bible miniseries. Now he's descending to save the Easter egg roll. So big reputation.
You know, like, it's kind of a yin and a yang for the beginning of the week at the martini lunch. We believe in a balanced approach. And so one day he'll be messianic and the next minute he'll be demonic. And, you know, there you go. We cover all our bases, Greg.
Jim, I'm sure you're working on your brackets. I'm working on mine. We know the president's working on his. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.